Peace to you in Christ Jesus' name. Well, they must have thought it was hysterical. This man posing to be a king, a simple Galilean peasant. So they decided to have some fun. And they found a scarlet robe and they put it on the man. And then they began to say, "Oh, hail king." But what's a king without a crown? So somebody got the idea to twist some thorns branches into a grisly crown. They put that on his head, jabbing it in so that it bled. And a scepter. We need a scepter for our king. And so another person found a simple reed, and they put it into his hand, perhaps forcing it there. And they bowed down, and they began to worship him. "Oh, great king. Oh, your majesty. You are truly the king of the Jews. All hail to you," they mocked. And through it all, our Lord doesn't say a word. He simply takes it. Looks on in silence, even as their mockery starts to turn vicious because he won't play along. And for that, he will pay. So they begin to spit on him and show their utter contempt for this deluded upstart with ideas of grandeur, illusions. And they take his scepter and they began to whip him over the head with it. Some scepter, some rule, some kingdom. "You are nothing, and you are about to die, and it will not be easy. Wait and see, King of the Jews." And still he looks on at them. And what these men miss in their mockery is the depth of his pity for them. Those who wound him with mockery, who try to shame him, who are preparing to torture and murder him, he feels for them. Look into his eyes and you will see it too. His desire, his depth of pity, and a foundation of love that extends out through the ages, through the millennium. It was a mere human trait, common to all of fallen humanity, to love your friends and to feel for those who care for you. But to love your enemies and to pray for them as he taught, well, that's against our every inclination. Especially to show pity and compassion to those who taunt and jeer at you and are preparing to kill you, well, that is the mark of the heavenly friend of Christ himself, of whom we sing, "What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end?" Limitless pity, no end to it. The look of pity from the face of the mocked king extends not only out to his torturers, but to the entire human race, which is complicit in his death, as he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This he would say just a few hours later. Of course, the truth beyond all truth is that Jesus actually is a king promised to the Jews. Yes, Jesus is that long-awaited Savior, but even more. Not only is he the king of the Jews, but he's also the king of the Gentiles too, the people who are not under the old covenant, but would be under the new. In fact, he is the one to whom the whole universe owes its existence. One thought from him, and not only would his captors have been obliterated, but the whole world. You'll never ponder the passion in the right way until you remember that single thought would have undone all of it, all who sought his death, and everyone who came after. That highest provocation, all he returns is pity and mercy and love. That's what fills him. That's who he is. And this is how Jesus reigns as a king above all kings. He reigns because he loves us in an unconquerable way. You see, Jesus is determined to share fully in that lot that we have chosen for ourselves. We were the ones who were destined to sit on thrones of glory at the creation, to be robed in majestic garments and to wear crowns upon our heads, and to share in the scepter of God's power over all creation. We were the crown of creation, created in his image. As God said, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. That's why he created us in the first place. But we threw it all away. And instead, we embraced the path of suffering and death, of loneliness and pain. And he would not want that to be our end. And so he came to walk the path as king of suffering, so that through it all, we might, who are lost, be restored to him. So Jesus is stripped so that our sinful nakedness might be clothed in the bright robe of his righteousness. He wears a crown of thorns so that we might wear a royal diadem or crown. He is beaten and mocked that we might be welcomed and treasured. Love incarnate will overcome all hatred and mockery and remain love, that a way can be opened for us to return from this misery of sin and into, through death, into the kingdom that the Father had planned for us from the very beginning. Jesus walks that way, the way of suffering, in kingly fashion. None of the mockery that comes at him can take away from who he knows that he is, from his majesty, his glory, his peace. And he does every act of his passion and burning love for the fallen race of men, so that we might be restored. He chooses to lay down his life that we might learn to live in him. Such love on his part begets love on our own, and that is why we sing together, "Oh, make me thine forever, and should I feigning be, Lord, let us never, never outlive my love for thee. Behold your king. Behold, beneath the spit, the blood, the blows. Behold the eyes that look upon you with tender compassion and cry out, for you, child, for the love of you, that you might live with me forever."